eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you.
Summer, right? It feels like it this week, doesn't it? It's warm and everything's good. Glad to have you all here. I want to go through some announcements today. And you can see that a couple different things that we have here. Number one, again, I want to welcome all visitors. We want to welcome church online. As you can tell, most of our worship team is online today. Or in a box. You'll find that out in a second. But so that, you know what that means? You got to worship louder. So that's what it is. We'll just keep turning it down till we all worship the Lord louder. So, but anyway, we're so blessed to have such an awesome group of worship team, and we're glad that when everybody can get a little time away together and spend time with family. So, but for our visitors, if you're here today, we welcome you. For Church Online, once again, we welcome you. We hope that if you're here or if you're online, you'll drop a note, let us know that you're connected to our worship. Parish Foundation, next time will be July 21st. Isn't that crazy that July 21st will be here in a little bit? Next week is July, correct? Everybody's like, yeah, short week, right? Short work week, but we're grateful for that. There is some information that you can see there about becoming a Stephen minister if you'd like to connect with that. Please look at those and prayerfully consider. It's a great ministry that helps many out and is just a way God uses your gifts. A youth group will meet today after church, and youth entering sixth grade are welcome to join. We also, I also want to let you know that because of this travel schedule, we do not have middle school Sunday school, so they'll hang out in here today as well. Haven's Helping Hands is doing blanket bags of care for the homeless, and we handed some of those things out, but I believe there are probably some around. If you have any questions, you can ask someone. We'll make sure that you get that. Again, we are still collecting for our 2019 graduates because we want to honor all those as well. I got to make a mixed announcement today, and so we ask for prayers. If you look up there, we've been raising money for our Haiti mission trip, which is supposed to happen in a little over a month, in August 3rd. We've been keeping a watchful eye, and we have some blessed brothers and sisters that are part of three communities of Haven Community Church in Haiti. And after watching the news and talking to many people, Haiti, we take things for granted. And I think it's kind of interesting that we've been doing a series on freedom, and we're also going to bask in the freedom that we have in this country. And sadly, not everybody is like that around the world. Haiti has gone through, over many, many years and through its history, a lot of political turmoil. And right now, they're in the midst of another one. There's a president who is not very loving to the people. It has caused lots of issues. You guys may remember back at the beginning of the year, there were some things that happened. Actually, we can go back to last year when a group from Cornerstone United Methodist Church was over there and kind of got caught up in some of the riots and things. That occurred again at the beginning of the year. It died down some more. They're working through some of their democratic government, and they have a president who basically says, I'm not going anywhere, who's causing a lot of the problems. So we had been advised, along with other mission organizations, that we need to postpone our trip at this time. That doesn't mean that we're not going. We're going when it clears up. This time, it's a little bit different for us because there are people that we love and care about and talk to every day. They are our brothers and sisters, not only in Christ, but in Haven Community Church. And to realize that we can't get there to them. They are safe in the areas that they are in. However, the problem is you can't get from the airport to there because it's bad enough normal week. But our guide there, our lead guide, Jonas, he made a statement that said, Haiti needs you. The communities need you. We need you. But for your safety and for everyone involved, we feel as at this time you need to slow down and postpone. Just to tell you what type of person Pastor Oog is, because he gets so excited. You don't understand, the whole entire community is thrilled when we come. It's like Christmas to them. Okay, and I look a little less than Santa Claus than I used to. But they get really excited and to share with him, and he sent back a letter with some scripture, an email, and basically was encouraging us, saying, yeah, you know, God knew that August might not have been the time, but we know that you'll be back, and know that when we are, there'll be a great celebration here. We are also looking about doing some other things that we can to support them in other ways. So be praying for Haiti. Be praying for our brothers and sisters, because many of us who are excited and felt God calling us, we know that God's called us, but we know that's going to shift a little bit. And I feel blessed that we have people on the ground that are looking out for our interests when they really could use what we bring to them in effort, in money, and everything else. And just to have the love for us that they have shows us that this is a God thing. This is God's thing. Some people may ask, you may be sitting here right now, why do we give to Haiti? Because as I look, Jesus said, go into the ends of the earth. And I don't care what color they are. I don't care what nationality they are. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And man, the church needs to learn a lot about what's really important, and it's people. And we're going to use a verse today that's very popular. Jesus, for God so loved the world. And we are just so fortunate to live in a country with all its mess, right? With all its mess, that we can still worship God freely and not have to worry about getting from point A to point B, or if we'll even be killed in the midst of it. So pray for them, all right? I hate to give that that announcement today, but we are going to connect and love them, and we still talk to them. Thank God for social media where we can talk to them every day, all right? So we are here to worship God. So let's just stand, and I'm going to open with a prayer today. Lord God, we know that you have all things in the palm of your hand. That God, we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know who holds the future. And so, God, as we are here today, help us to set aside any worries, any concerns. God, just anything that's going on in our lives right now, just for one thing, to worship and focus on you. And so, God, as we do that this time, we just pray that you'll just fill our hearts and our lives with your Holy Spirit as we hear more about your grace and your goodness and what freedom truly means in you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody says, amen. All right. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. Together we sing, everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Is filled with his glory. The earth is filled
worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever bring. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to the voices around me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken.
I need you, I need you. Every breath, every pulse of my heart. Christ, have mercy, let mercy abound. I need you, I need you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, I'm longing to see you. In your presence, all darkness will fade. Shine your glory, let glory surround. I'm longing to see you now. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. God, pour out your grace, glorious grace, that I would be held by your perfect embrace. I am undeserving, you are high and worthy. All of my praise for this glorious grace. All of my praise for this glorious
you. God, I need you, I need you.
at this time, I'm going to ask that we just remain standing and continue worshiping the Lord. And so I'm just going to give a prayer for our offering. God, we are here and we are going to give a portion back to you during this time. We are so blessed. As we mentioned early on, we are so blessed. And this week we're going to celebrate, you know, our independence. And that we look at that, God, and we just kind of like dismiss it at times with everything else that we've got. It's not pretty. It's not pretty independence, but no freedom ever is. And so, God, we just pray right now that you will just anoint these gifts. Make them not stay here. God, this is not about Haven. It's not about me. It's all about you. So, God, as we have brothers and sisters in Haiti that we're disappointed because we don't get to go be with, we know that we are one together and there's unity in Christ. And, God, help what we collect in here for your tithe and our offerings. Bless not only this church, not only our community, not only the country, but the entire world. So, God, just put your anointing on that as we continue to worship and glorify your name. Anoint these gifts and anoint the giver. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your Jesus more and more.
Let's sing that verse again.
Here I am waiting, abide in me, I pray. Here I am longing for you. Hide me in your love, bring me to my knees. May I know Jesus more. Go.
take over. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings. Come breathe in me, and I will rise on eagle's wings.
Amen. You may be seated. This time our children can go ahead and head to our Sunday school ministry, Haven Kids. For everyone else, just say hello to someone before we go to our prayer time.
Test. All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and continue with our prayer time. Here today, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I have a prayer request. I do want to remind Church Online, if you have a prayer request, please, by all means, go ahead, place it online, and we will go ahead and make sure that it gets through our prayer group. I wanted to say prayer chain. I was thrust back to where people used to phone and do that stuff. For those of you who are here, we do have prayer requests that are here, and so we hope that you'll fill those out. I have one here today. Robin Hildebrand has asked for prayers for her sister Anne in the loss of her spouse and Daniel at the loss of his grandmom. So we want to go ahead and continue to lift them in your prayers. Continue to lift, as I said, our brothers and sisters in Haiti up with the postponing. I'm never going to say canceling. I'm saying the postponing because we will be back in God's time, not ours. It just seems kind of weird that the first time in 3 years that we're not going to be there. Continue to pray for them. And just continue to pray for our country, our world, and our area as we seek God and all this. All right, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we seek you today, we come to you and we give you thanks for all that you have displayed to us already. And God, we just thank you that you are just you never give up on us. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the world says, no matter what the news is, no matter what's going on in our lives, you are faithful. You are faithful, even when we are faithless. And so, God, today, during the remainder of this time, we just want to get ourselves out of the way. And just we ask that Holy Spirit just please come. For Robin's sister who has a loss in that family, God, just fill that void for them and just give them peace during this time. For anyone else who's dealing with illness and loss and tragedy, there's so much of it out there. For those, God, who are just, it may not bring something up to the prayer list, but I just feel like I got to pray this right now in this room or for whoever hears the sound of my voice. For those, God, who are in a point of transition and it's tumultuous, for those who, God, just suffer every day with the struggles of physical, mental, or emotional illness, God, we just pray that you will just bring peace to their lives. That it will be just like you did with the storm, with the disciples, and said, peace be still right now as you speak. So that, God, we can come to know you in a more powerful and intimate way than we ever have. So, God, do your thing. Get me out of the way and meet us here. For those who are traveling, give traveling mercies. For those who will hear the sound of my voice, may they get me out of the way and hear the voice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For this, we give you praise in Christ's mighty name.
Morning. Our scripture this morning is Galatians 3, verses 1 through 3. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?
I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Enjoy the weather this week? Couple rainy, weird storms there, you know. Anybody go without power? Nobody went without power? I hate you all, okay? Because I did. Because I did. Like I said, we haven't been without power. Like, we've had power, like, no matter what storms for the last 4 years, and then, like twice in the last couple weeks. I'm, like, not happy about it, okay? But, you know, it is amazing, though, how we get used to, like, stuff that for the most of history nobody had, like air conditioning. Like, now people go, oh my gosh, I gotta go inside. Anybody remember the fan was the air conditioner in the window? Anybody remember that? Or that metal fan that was like, oh, you know, that you had to sit real close to. Anyway, that's not on my notes. That's free today, okay? Yeah, here we are. It's wild. We are in summer. I heard we're like at 170, 180 days already in the year. So half of it's almost over. Over. Here we go. And somebody told me in 6 months we'll be having Christmas. I know. Isn't that awful? He caught you too. I was like, did we just leave that mess? But anyway, instead of all that mess and worrying about and thinking about the year, which we have no control over, the one thing that we do have somewhat control over, or at least God does, is we are spending time these last couple weeks. We are in week 3 of a series. And most of the time, I like to do a topical series that focuses, and we have scripture from all around the Bible and that builds on a concept. And at least once, if not twice a year, I just really like to take a book of the Bible, immerse ourselves in, and just dive in. We came from our series that was based right after Easter, that was based on a study done by, what's his name? Andy Stanley, that's his name. Pastor Andy Stanley, called What Makes You Happy. And that series made me miserable because I found out in the areas I'm not very happy in and why I'm not. Did anybody else have that relationship, you know, with it? And so then we naturally went into this area of Galatians, where Galatians talks about this freedom in Christ, and Galatians is an epistle. Everybody say epistle. There you go, you're good. You can use that if somebody says, hey, I'm going to write a letter. Say, I'm going to write an epistle. And just that's basically what it means. The Apostle Paul, an apostle simply means this. It means a church planner. Okay, he was a church planner. That was his job. And he was a church planner to the Gentiles primarily. And he went in this area of Galatia, which we look as modern-day Turkey. And he was up there. And as he was planning churches in this area, he would raise up leadership, and then he'd leave. But he had connections back and forth talking about what's going on. After he left, there came some Christians from Jerusalem area, most of who were Jewish converts to Christianity. And they meant well, but they were hung up on something. They were hung up on this thing called circumcision, and meaning that you have to become Jewish before you become Christian. And they went and they went to these people, and they said, hey, this whole thing, it's good that you accepted Christ, but Paul didn't tell you, you need to go ahead and do some of the Jewish traditions. By the way, man, one of those is circumcision. And if you don't find humor in the Bible, people still join the church at the time after that, right? You with me? I think I would not join. I'd be like, honey, you join, I'm gone, right? Anybody with me? All right? So that's what was going on in this early church. Paul heard about it, said it was wrong. And the first week we kind of talked about this. Paul is very emotional. He's very emotional about what's going on. But through that emotion, we get a really good doctrine of what it means to have freedom in Christ. In week 1, Paul starts with that verse that we heard read for us in the opening video. I can't believe you so quickly deserted all that freedom and all that awesome stuff that I share with you in Christ, deserted it for another gospel. And what we spent time in there talking about is that there's at least two brands of Christianity. There is one that is a chore. Oh, I got to read my Bible. Oh, I got to go to church. Oh, I don't want to sing in the choir. Oh, I don't want to play. Sunday school, I don't want to do it. But I got to. Anybody? All right? Then there's the other one where there is this freedom. It's about relationship, not about religion. And we went back to the early part of Genesis. Excuse me. We went back to Genesis. I'm good. I got water here. Lisa's got, like, cough drops to throw at me or something. Oh, she gave me these nasty ones one time. I think she was trying to kill me in the middle of service. She's like, I want a quick message today. And she gave me some thing. Oh, thank you, Sally. All right. So anyway, Lisa tried to poison me. You can write that down. The other part that what we said is there's two trees in the garden. And from the very beginning, God gave a choice. He gave a choice between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We know the rest of the story. Adam and Eve and Adam, pick one. They both did it. It says Eve was deceived, that Adam just went, all right, and took it, okay? So, but either way, that caused them to choose from the knowledge of good and evil. And when they chose from that, they chose this life. Last week we talked about how we are spiritual Tarzans, remember? That we love the tree of life, but occasionally we swing back, and we like to swing back to that other one. And we swing back here again, and we say, oh, I love this. Oh, look at that person. Woo, we swing back, right? We do that time and time again. Anybody keep track this week of how many times you swung back and forth between the tree of life? Like, you might be in that praise and worship song, and all of a sudden, like I mentioned last week, somebody cuts you off, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to kill you and send you to Jesus, right? You know? Swinging back and forth, right between the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So, right where we stopped there, and this is one of the cool things about doing a series verse by verse, right where we ended up last week, we're picking up this week. It's like the old television shows. Remember Batman, the old Batman show? You're really old if you remember that. The same bat time, same bat channel, here we are. Same bat, same Jack channel, here we go. We're going ahead. So today, Paul says, ended last week with saying, what he's trying to tell us is, let's make sure we know what the gospel is. And I got to tell you, in 2,000 years of Christianity, and in a country where we are free that is primarily based off a Judeo-Christian faith, we kind of get numb to that term gospel, don't we? The gospel. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at that. Let's look at chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. Debbie read this to me and to all of us, right? Not just to me, I guess. So, whatever. All right. So, look here. Oh, you foolish Galatians. Remember how Paul started this book? I'm so thankful for you, and I love you. And blah, blah, blah. Now he's calling them fools, okay? You're foolish. You foolish Galatians. Who has cast an evil spell on you? Stop. I don't know that this is the best translation, but what it really means is it's the Greek term baskaieno. Everybody say that with me. Baskaieno. There you go. You got a Greek word today, and you can say baskaieno. And what it really means is the evil eye. Okay? So it's a decent translation, somewhat. But I'm gonna explain to you what I believe that is. Did anybody ever get in trouble by your parents or someone in church? Anyone? Like, you might have been talking, you might have been goofing around, and you see this. That is Boscaino, right? And so, like, you might have been sitting there, you might be giggling with your friends, and you get this person that goes, right? How many of you have ever seen that? How many of you have ever done that? All right, there you go. So that is the Boscaino. Who has cast an evil spell, the evil eye on you? What does that mean? Well, see, many of us have been part of churches where people love to give the evil eye. And the evil eye usually comes with some ounce of judgment. Am I right? I remember one of my best friends in the world. He was he had come to Christ a little bit, and we were having a revival, and they got us young people to do ushers. And we were doing ushers, and he was going through, and of course, we're just kids. It was probably in the days of jams. Remember those? Remember jams? Those, like, who does not remember jams? Okay, who had a pair of jams? Who had a pair of clam diggers? You know what I mean? The ones down here that were all the colors? I did. And I wore them to church. And so, I'm not going to put them on now. Forget it. So, but I remember it was the 80s. The style was bad. We know. But then he's walking along, and I remember he was giving out a plate to somebody, and she looked at him, gave him the evil eye, give me your best evil eye, and said, he had gum in his mouth and said, you look disgusting. All right. Now, he laughed about it now, but I remember he came and he was hurt and he was upset because we have that judgment there. Many of us have had that, correct? Many of us have had these stories time and time again. Probably what it is, it's a good translation would probably be, who has turned their nose up at you, okay, is what we have here. So that's what we have. And that is religion at its height. Religion at its height is when we have that full weight of judgment. Okay, and we're going to talk more about that. Then he continues and says, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death, so we need to know the meaning of Jesus Christ's death, was made clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. So he's saying, I came and I told you about what Christ's death and the meaning of it is, just like I showed you a picture. Here it is. We would say, just like I showed you a video, just like you saw the Passion of the Christ, you should know the meaning of the death. He's saying, I made it crystal clear to you. Crystal clear to you in this whole thing. And you had the meaning, but because someone gave you the evil eye, you lost it. Just immediately. He started it this way. So then we have this. He continues. He says, let me ask you this one question. And just to let you know, when Paul asks a question, he already knows the answer he wants. And he says, let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? What do you think the answer is? Nope, exactly. And here's what he says. Of course not. You received the Holy Spirit because you believed the message of Jesus Christ. You heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? Paul's not happy. You see, he said you believed the message, which means you changed on the inside. You changed on the inside, but because of something that people were concerned about outside, specifically in this case, you've lost the true meaning of what Christ brought to the table. And then he says this, some people still today, you may have been raised in church for years, we still don't fully get the message of Christ and the cross. And so here's what he says. He says, after starting in your Christian lives, in the Spirit, here we are in the tree of life, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Back in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, Adam and Eve bought into what Satan said, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Did not lie, twisted it. Because they know good and evil, but they wanted to be like God. So guess, here we are again. We're going back and forth between those two trees that you were free, you understood, you were filled with the Spirit, living your Christian life under grace. That's what we're going to talk about today. Yet, somebody comes along, gives you the evil eye, and you say, oh, I've got to do it by my own nature. I've got to do enough stuff in order to get that way. All right? But it's not that way, our own human effort. You know, one of the things, there's two things that happen when we get that evil eye or when we get that nose stuck up on us when we've been in church. And over my history, I've seen a couple things that happen there. And the reactions, the main reason why we get those reactions is simply this. Because people who give us that believe their human effort is better than ours. Okay, let me say that again, because that's important. When we've been saved by grace through faith in Christ, and it's not of your own works. That's what the scripture says. We're going to get more into that. Yet somehow we like to swing back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and think that we have so many works and things that we have to do. And when we get judgment from someone in that realm, it's because they believe their works and effort are better than yours and mine. And you know what? They may be right. And that's okay for them, but not for the gospel. Everybody following along with me here? Okay? All right. So Here's what happens. Here's the couple reactions we have when we see that. We'd say, number one, I better get on board and do it. And one of the biggest struggles in my life have seen people who have lived lives that are broken and destroyed, and they've come to faith with Jesus Christ just as I am, experiencing him and recognizing that Jesus wants to change them, hearing the truth of the gospel, but then getting caught up in this legalistic effort that we have to do and be and act and say and live and read that this is the right thing. And it's wrong. Because we take that freedom in Christ and we throw it away and put on the weight of our own human legalism. And I don't know why we do it. We constantly do it. That's one reaction. The other reaction, and I've seen this time and time again, and if you don't believe me, go ahead and just walk through Walmart or the grocery store and ask people what they think of Christians. And they will tell you, I don't want any parts of that legalistic nonsense. Right? Many of them will. It's not because of the freedom and the grace that we have in Christ. It is because of the legalism and the weight that we give. And a matter of fact, Gandhi said, I love Jesus. I can't stand your Christians. Gandhi. He said, I would have become a Christian if I ever met one, because he understood Christians were supposed to mean little Christ. That's powerful. That's a powerful statement. What's really cool here is Paul pauses, and I want to pause here too, because I want to spend time today making sure that we all know and really understand the gospel. Because we are in a bad condition. We are all sinners. All of us have missed the mark of what God intended. Romans 3:23 tells us this: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, because of sin, we can't be it with God. Matter of fact, sin and God can't be in the same place, should not be in the same place. But there's a problem here. God wants to be with you. God wants to spend time with you. God created Adam and Eve for fellowship together, for relationship. And when sin entered, it separated that. It separated that. So that's the problem. So the good thing is, God wants relationship. Bad thing is, we're in a mess. And so how do we get rid of our sin? Every religion has an area, every religion says, how to get close to God. How to be godlike, how to get closer. So this isn't new. The difference in Christianity is simply this. We are separated by God, and the way we get there is not by anything that we do, but about what Jesus has already done. That, in other words, Jesus paid our bill. The bill for sin, and what the scripture says, the wages of sin, what sin needs to be paid for is death. Something has to die. So if I did it by my human effort, I would go here, boom, kill myself, and then because I'm dead, I can't receive forgiveness, and so I'm going to hell, and God is still separated from me, so then I can't figure this out. So instead, Jesus came and said, I'll pay the bill. That should get you really excited. Okay, so God sent him. Jesus said, I'll pay the bill. Now, how many of you have ever been, anybody ever been in a restaurant where you're sitting there and somebody, you do this? Like the universal symbol of check, please, bill. I don't know why. Who's ever done this? Okay. You. And then people are like, oh, they know right away. I don't know. We're never taught that, but we learn. And when somebody, have you ever been someplace where somebody comes there, didn't pay their bill? Okay, you ever been someplace where somebody comes and you say, oh, I want to pay my check, and somebody says, oh, it's already been taken care of? Anybody ever had that? Nobody has? Okay, yeah. Now, isn't that awesome? I'm like, who? And somebody says, oh, they didn't want to know. They just wanted to pay your bill for you. Anybody ever paid the bill for somebody that they don't know? It's a great experience, okay? You can do those things. And so by paying, when you have your bill paid, it feels awesome, but there's something that's not right about it, right? That person didn't order it. That person didn't do it. And you knew they were going to do it, you would order your whole family, right? Okay, that's the other part of it as well. And you're like, oh, man, where are the kids? Bring them in. Oh, I forgot to order take-home meals. Okay, but that kind of stuff. So it's the same thing with Jesus. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus didn't do the stuff that I did or I'm going to do, but he paid for it already. He paid for it. You see, hell is not a place where God sends people who are bad. I'm going to correct this. Hell is not a place where God sends people that are bad. Hell is a place where people go who want to pay their own bill. And that's important to know. Because we've had years of Dante's Inferno saying God is wrath and punishment. God sent his son so that no one would perish. But you got to let him pay the bill. That's what the gospel is. You got to let Jesus pay it. God is not going to say when people are going to hell, woohoo, yeah, burn, baby, burn, disco inferno. He's not going to do that. Because it's God's will that no one perish. It's going to grieve him when he sees that and says, why didn't you let my son pay for it? Why didn't you let him? And there's some of us that we have a problem. If you're a giver, if somebody's a giver in here, you have a problem with receiving. Right? And there's many of us in our lives that have a problem with receiving what God has for us because we like to do on our own. Right? So what it says here, let's look at Galatians 3:10. It says this, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. That doesn't mean like God says, you know, like that or anything. It just means that here's the curse. It's written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do how much? Everything written in the book of the law. And I'm going to tell you, you cannot do it. I can't do it. None of us can do it. It is impossible. James 2:10 says this, and it says it really clear. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Anybody ever said anything nasty about someone? Anybody had a bad word come out of your mouth? Like in the last 5 minutes? Okay. Anybody ever done anything that if I pulled it up on the screen, you would want people not to see? Okay, it might be an interesting church service, right? All right. So how many are glad when you were children you didn't have cell phones? Hallelujah. All the old people raise their hands. There we go. All right. So if you break one thing, you're guilty of breaking it all. Jesus kicked that up a notch, as I mentioned last week, that said if you have hatred to your brother, you're a murderer. All right. We have these things. And so I want you to look at these real quick. I'm going to give you two things that are great for explaining faith. And then I'm going to spend the rest of the time talking about something that's really, really cool. All right? Everybody good? Take a deep breath. Ready? Hike. Here we go. All right. So next thing is the law couldn't be obeyed. It still can't. A lot of people believe that you do enough good stuff that is okay. But you can't do enough. You can't cure you. In the United States, we kind of have this theory that if we do something bad, we'll make up for it by doing good. If I do enough good things, then people forget all the bad things. How many of you, if we went to your high school reunion and people saw that you were in church, they may go, you're in church? Right? Right? Anybody? Okay, there we go. A couple of you. And that may be because you had an interesting time in high school, correct? You might have been around a lot of craziness. You might have done some bad things, and people go, wait a second. And you think that if you do enough good stuff that you're going to make up for that. But ask your high school people. When you go to high school reunions, I tell all the senior classes I have, just to let you know, everybody is going to remember you forever as you are tied to this group forever of all the stuff you've done now. You could cure cancer. They are going to remember what you did in 10th grade at homecoming. Am I right? Yes. That's how life is. That's just how it works. And so the law couldn't do that. Pastor Chris Hodges has a great way of saying this. He said, in the United States, Americans believe in 51% heaven, meaning that if I do just a little bit more than the bad, whew, I'm in. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says if you break one part of the law, you're guilty of doing away with all of it. In Galatians 3:19, he says, what then is the purpose of the law? That's a good question. Why the law? Why the whole Old Testament? Why should we even do this? Well, because I think God wanted to show us we can't do it. How many of you have ever had toddlers? You ever have toddlers that you start to do something? I can do it. No, I can do it, right? And meanwhile, they're messing on them. You're like, no, you can't do it. And they're like, yes, I can. They give you the evil eye. Right? Try forced potty training a toddler. Right? Thank God I'm behind that. All right? You remember? I actually bribed Judah with a race car set. I'm proud of it too. 10 years in diapers. Woohoo! Got a race. All right. Not me. The family. All right. So. What? Not Judah. No, he went 10. My family was 10 years. Oh, shut up, Lisa. Give her one of them cough drops. Okay. Sally, give her a couple cough drops. Okay. So anyway. But anyway, toddlers do what? They are so strong, they believe they can do anything. Teenagers. Yeah, I don't have to say another word, do I, parents? Right? Young adults. Older adults. We all think we can do it on our own. We all think we can do it on our own. It's impossible. It's impossible to get where God wants us. It's impossible to stay in the tree of life in our own human effort. You know what Adam and Eve had to do to stay in the tree of life? Just eat from the tree of life and not do the other one. That's all they had to do. Sometimes it's so hard for us to not do anything but just do what God says. And so here we are. That's the first thing. Then in Galatians 3, 24 through 25, it says, so the law was put in charge to do what? Everybody say this? Lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You see, faith is something inside. Faith is being sure what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's something inside where works is all outside. So the second thing is the law was made to lead us to Christ because we can't do it on our own. And so I want to dedicate the rest of the sermon to all those who've tried to do it by their own efforts, who may have grown up in a denomination or a church where said, you got to do this, 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 this. You got to act this way, this way, this way. And you couldn't do it, and so you decided, why bother? The other way. Because when we go to God, when we go to Jesus, miracles happen. And it's only when we go to Jesus through faith that we recognize the person of Jesus rather than the rules of Jesus. Scripture says this, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. True Christianity is about transformation from the inside out. So let's look at the same verse in Galatians 3:24 in the New Living Translation. It's the same verse, and it says, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be, what does it say? Made right with God through faith. You know it doesn't say so that we can do right? That we can be made right through Christ. The transformation is inside. And what is this transformation through faith? It's something called grace. It's something called grace. And, you know, one of the things is many of us have heard about grace, know about grace. We've heard grace. We know about grace. But unless you've experienced grace, you will never understand it fully. I want to tell you something. My job is not to train you on good behavior. All right, you did this, y'all. Don't you do that again. Don't you? You burn in hell, burn in hell, burn in hell, burn in hell. Come back next week, I'll tell you how you're going to burn in hell again. Right? That's not my job. And some of you are laughing because you were part of those churches. My job is not to tell you how to behave at all. My job is to have you experience the grace of God and let Him transform each one of us into something. We need to stop that. You know that pastor had that big long finger? It grew every week, like Pinocchio finger. And you thought it was like right at you. Okay, those kind of situations. So we need to throw off that to get to the point where we understand what real gospel is about. So I'm going to give you 5 things about grace. It's an acrostic. Everybody know what acrostic is? Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this. Each of these, the blanks is going to start with a letter that and it forms the word grace. And I didn't invent it myself. Pastor Rick Warren was one of the persons who did this great. He has that skill. So why reinvent the wheel when we're talking about the same thing? Amen? All right, so here we go. The first thing is grace is a free gift. See the G? A free gift of God. This can be transformational. And so one of the things is we want to put this simplistically. Grace is a free gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot earn it. Now I'm going to see who's old enough. Anybody remember the Smith Barney commercial that said, we are Smith Barney. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Remember that guy? How many remember him? Okay, we earn it. All right? Some of us think, I'm not good for that grace. I want to do it the old-fashioned way. I want to earn Christianity, right? That's how we live lives. We want to earn it. We want to earn it. Guess what? Good luck. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not at all. Jesus brought you this free gift, and we say this free gift, but let me tell you what he brought. He brought his life. He brought his life to you and to me. And when you really, truly think about Jesus and the gift of God that he gave to you, it would be like if you're standing on I-95. You're standing out there like this. You're waiting to kind of cross, and you step out, and all of a sudden there's a speeding car that comes by, and somebody you did not know runs out, shoves you out of the way, and takes that for you. That's what Christ did. He took everything that you and I deserve. Every single thing that we deserve, he took it. Romans 6:23 says this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Having kids, there are several times in their lives where they got injured, usually while I was watching them, okay? Just to let you know. And this is kind of like one of these stories that we've heard time and time again. But I remember, long story short, Jacob always tended to injure his chin, like hit on something when I was there and Melissa was gone. Don't judge me. But I remember one time we had like one of those futon couches, right? And he had a little train table, because he liked Thomas the Tank Engine. He'll be 21 this week, so I think he's graduated from Thomas, right? So a little bit. All right, so but the futon was flipped over on the train table, and he went and put his hands down, and this was like the first time Melissa left the house with baby Rachel in like forever, and he put his hands down, and his chin smacked right on that wood and split open, and he had it split open before, there from another incident, which wasn't totally my fault. All right, but so I had to, I think we even had pagers back then. I don't think we even had, you know, we had to dial and put in 911, which is not a good thing to do, but you had to do that. So she called, and we got him to the hospital. I think my father-in-law came over and stayed with the with Emmigail, and I'm whisking him to the hospital, and he's crying, but he's calming down because Jacob was always pretty happy kid, and he's there, and everything was good. But here he had to split, and they had to get to the point where they had to stitch him and numb him. We were in there, and he was good, except for when they had, even when they had to hold him, he wasn't too bad. But when they came with that needle, right? See, some of you are about ready to cry already, right? He just started screaming, and they're holding him down. I remember him just like asking for help. And I started thinking about that today and planning a service. That's how God felt when Jesus was on the cross. He said, Father, if you can do anything, take this from me. He said, no, that's what I got to do. And here he is on the cross, and he said, Father, my God, where are you? Help. Daddy, help. At that moment. And you ever as a parent been helpless in that moment? You ever been helpless to the point when Rachel has had her stroke and other kinds of stuff like that to just not be able to make it work? I remember when we were in the Dominican and Rachel's there in the hospital and we're looking at FaceTime and all she was saying was, help, mommy, help. You talk about helplessness? God knew what needed to happen, but he let his son do that for you and for me. The free gift of God is more than just, you know, this week's tied or new present from Walmart. It is the gift of God's Son and the life of Jesus Christ. We need to thank Jesus daily for what he's given for us, what he's done. Number two, grace is received by faith. Grace is received by faith. There's the R. Faith is not belief. There's a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus. Good. Satan does too. But it's about receiving Jesus. It's about relationship. It's about trust in God. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. That means it's not your work. It's not your business. It is the gift of God, not by your works, that no one can boast. Romans 4:16 says, people receive God's promise by having what? Faith. The bad news is we never truly understand the gospel until we cross, and we never understand grace until we cross the line of faith. You can't know it until you do it. It's like food that you just, somebody told, that you looked at and you didn't like. Like, for instance, there's a food that because it was green, I never liked, guacamole, and I love it now. It is absolutely amazing. I will eat guacamole all day. If you give me a look, try it. Am I right? It's delicious, all right? Guacamole. So there's other kinds of things like that. Grace occurs when we cross the line of faith. Number three. Everybody good? Number three. Grace is available to everyone. That is, grace is available to everyone. Religion forgets this. Religion totally forgets this. We need to never be the evil eye person. We need to never be the evil eye church. Let us, Haven Church, never be a place that exists for just church people. It needs to exist for anyone who wants to come. I realize there are plenty of issues and theologies and other kinds of things, but this place needs to be a place for anybody who's working through stuff to come and try to find Jesus. And if you give them the evil eye, it might be the wrong place. It's never a church place for just church people. It needs to be a place where you're welcome. In John 8, the woman who was caught in adultery was being put there, and she was going to be stoned to death by the religious people who, guess what? By the law, they were right. They were right. But by grace, Jesus says every single one of you should be stoned to death for your sin. And he said to her, "Where are your accusers?" She goes, "Nobody's here." He said, "I don't either. Now go and stop that mess." Transformation occurred through relationship. It never occurs through legalism. Ever, ever, ever. It never does. Somebody the other week said to me, "I'm not religious." I said, "Me neither." They said, "Wait a second, you're a pastor." I said, "I know. I'm a sinner saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm just trying to get to the same place, and God's just called me to another area of the body. And thank God it's not by my own works, or I would fail daily." Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10. Everyone, everybody say everyone, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lord saves everyone needs to call on the Lord, and then he will save them. Number four, grace comes only through Christ. The world's changing. It's moving, it's shifting, sometimes for the good and sometimes for the bad. I remember 20-some years ago when I was first starting in ministry, I was part of the United Methodist Church, which, don't get me wrong, I love the United Methodist Church and everything that it brought to me, that formative nature. I love the early theology from John Wesley and those things. Yet I remember there was a time when they were coming out with a new hymnal. And in that new hymnal, they had a large discussion to take out any kind of blood references in there as it would be offensive to people. And I said, it should be. Let me take you back to the cross, because the gospel is about what Christ has done. It's about the blood of Jesus. I could give you time and time again where we have been more concerned about other things than what Christ said to us. Jesus is very clear that he is the one way to the Father. And here's the reason. Some people say, that's really harsh, Jack. One way. There's some good people. There's this. Because Jesus is the only one who saw the problem, fixed it, and paid for it himself. That's the difference. If you want to know the difference between other religions, there is a problem. We all recognize we're separated from God. Jesus is the only one said, here's the problem. I'm going to pay for it. That's what makes it different. That's what makes it completely different. John 1, 17 says, "For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." In Romans chapter 5, it says, "Many people have received God's gift of grace. Of the one man, Jesus Christ." This is not in your notes. John chapter 14, 6. Jesus answered and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," everybody say no one, "comes to the Father except through me." Another one that is not in your notes. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind or humanity by which we must be saved." Jesus dealt with the problem and paid for it. So grace is a free gift. Grace is available to everyone. Grace comes only through faith in Christ. And this last one, number five, grace is extended throughout eternity. When Christ paid for on the cross, he paid for the sins past, present, and future. He paid for it all. You remember the old hymn? Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Jesus didn't pay some of it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You may say right now, well, this grace thing sounds really cool. I can do whatever I want. And then I could just ask for forgiveness. Paul deals with that in the book of Romans. He says you can't just do everything and then say, oh, sorry, and do it that way. Grace doesn't give you a free pass. But it does, when you understand, when you not only understand, but you experience grace, it changes your motivation for living. You fully understand. Paul says this to the church at Romans. Shall we keep on sinning so that grace abounds all the more? He said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. I just want you to stop changing through your own efforts. I'm going to share this verse with you. I'm going to say something else, and then we're going to wrap up with a worship song today. And we're going to talk about the results. And we're going to pick right up here next week. Isn't that cool? You know exactly where I'm going next week. And here's what it is. And this comes from Titus, actually. Titus, one of the early church leaders that Paul wrote to. And look at what he says, how he puts it. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to who? All people. All people. The grace of God does what? Teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. You see, it's not by our own works that we do good stuff so that we get. It's that we got, and so then we do the right things. Everybody see? We got it mixed up, don't we? We got it mixed up. So that's when somebody comes up and does something and has a lifestyle or does something that you disagree with. You know what you do? You love them and you tell them, hey, come here. Because I got to tell you, any church legalism has never changed my heart. It's never changed my actions. If anything, it made me feel weighty, guilty, and want to run the other way. What changed my heart, my life, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Grace means this: undeserved favor and undeserved love. I don't deserve anything Christ has given me. Nothing one bit. By the time I leave here today, I'm going to have a thought, or else I'm going to say something. You stick around long enough, you'll hear it. I'm going to say something that should open up the pit of hell, because if I break one of them, I've failed it all. But because of grace, undeserved love and favor in Jesus Christ, who I put my hope and my trust in, not knowing what tomorrow brings, not knowing where this world's going to be, but I put my trust in him. I'm just saying, God, you got this. You lead me, then I can live this free life. I can live this free life in Christ. I'm going to end as our worship team. Who are they? Our worship team in a box is going to come up. And I want to share this quick story with you here. Oh, I forgot this one thing. Grace is what you ought to do, becomes what you want to do through Christ. I'm going to share with you this story very quickly. It's kind of a joke, but I thought it was very fitting. A man dies and goes to heaven. Of course, who meets him at the gate? I don't know how Peter got the job for eternity of being, MBA or whatever. I don't know. But he meets him at the pearly gate, and St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I will give you a certain number of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, I'll open the door. No easy pass, right? Okay, the man says, well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, treated her like a queen, never cheated her, even in my heart. Peter says, that's wonderful. 3 points. 3 points? Well, I attended church all my life. I supported his ministries. I tithed. I did service. I did all that kind of stuff. Peter said, that's awesome. Terrific. That's worth 1 point. He said, 1 point? He said, okay, how about this? I served at a soup kitchen in my city. I worked in a shelter for the homeless. I took care of the veterans. I even taught kindergarten Sunday school. He said, fantastic. 2 more points. He said, 2 points? He said, at this rate, the only way to get in heaven is by the grace of God. And Peter said, here you go. Come on in. That is the only way we ever get to heaven, because grace becomes what when you ought to do becomes what you want to do because you have faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody stand. Ain't nobody in heaven on 100 points is what I'm saying. Let's stand and worship God. And it's perfect. I'm going to give you a little bit of history. Sometimes I have no clue what I'm doing. Most of the time I have no clue what I'm doing. And when we got together this week and we're going through some practices, we went through some songs that we had, and Wayne was great and put some things together. But I always find it amazing how God always matches it up. Think about the songs we've already sang about God's grace. Think about the things that we've sang about his name and who he is. And under this, just let God minister to you and just seek him. It's about relationship. It's not about anything else but relationship in him.
Of your great name, all condemned feel no shame at the sound of your great name. Every fear has no place at the sound of your great name. Son of God, Emmanuel, high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. All the weak find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls Jesus. There is power in the name of
Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So freely given, such a price, bought our redemption, heaven's gates, so it might. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name Jesus, and there is power in the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, and there is power in the name of Jesus.
Do you believe it this morning?
And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, break every chain.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. There's an army.
Worship team, there you go. All part of the worship team. That's how it should be every week. Everybody part of the worship team. Hey, so next week our theme is going to be sons or slaves. We're going to talk about that in the next chapter in Galatians. Have an awesome week in the Lord. I just got to share this. God just told me somebody has a kid who's been dealing with some health issues. He said he's going to break every chain there. So just go with it. Bye.
Have a great week.